As human beings, when we're scared, it's helpful when you have someone to be scared with.
What if you're single and live alone? What do you do when you just need a hug?
It's this weird paradox, right? Because we need it more now than we've ever needed it before, and we can't quite get it.
It's scary because I'm kind of afraid to, of course, be around people.
I live alone, and I'm really missing being able to touch people again and receive hugs myself.
I think when you remove choice and you dial up fear, being home by yourself is a very different experience.
At the end of the day, we are human creatures and we must connect in some way.
This is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR that's all about how we can help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. I'm Jack Rodolico, live in Concord, and tonight we're talking about solitude, about living alone, perhaps. This pandemic has isolated all of us to an extent, but some are more isolated than others. I'm wondering if that's you. Are you living alone through this pandemic? Maybe you're in a long-distance relationship. Maybe you had to leave college early. Maybe you're single, divorced, widowed. Maybe you're down a dirt road surrounded by trees or in an apartment by yourself. What can you tell the rest of us about how you are coping or struggling with isolation in this moment? We want to hear from you now. Tell us about your experience. Call us to talk. The number is 603-513-7700. One more time, that number, 603-513-7700. You can also send us an email at nhcalling@nhpr.org. Before we head over to the calls, let's recap what we know now about coronavirus in New Hampshire. New cases of COVID-19 remain stable, according to Dr. Benjamin Chan, the state's top epidemiologist. Chan says despite that relatively positive sign, there's been no decline in the spread of COVID-19 in New Hampshire communities. He says social distancing measures should stay in place for now. Governor Chris Sununu has appointed a task force dedicated to looking into how and when to reopen New Hampshire's economy. Also, Catholic Medical Center in Manchester, one of the state's biggest hospitals, says a steep drop in revenue because of the pandemic is leading to dramatic cost-saving measures. CMC will furlough or cut pay to more than 40% of the hospital's staff. And as of today, state health officials are recommending all Granite Staters wear cloth masks in public. Here's a quick and easy way to get all the latest on the pandemic in New Hampshire. Go to our website and click on the link at the top of the page to sign up for our daily coronavirus email newsletter. That's at nhpr.org. So we've now all endured about 6 weeks of social distancing. It's kind of extraordinary. I can't tell if it feels longer or shorter than that personally, but I do think it's taking its toll on all of us in lots of ways. There's joblessness, there's fears about our health, fears about the health of people we love, and the backdrop to all this uncertainty is that we're all more isolated than ever. And that's what we're talking about right now. We want to hear how you're coping with this isolation. We welcome everyone to call in, but tonight we especially want to hear from people living alone or in remote areas. If you are feeling alone, maybe this is even a chance to connect. Or if you feel like you've got this thing mastered, maybe it's an opportunity for you to pass along some tips to other people. New Hampshire Calling is live, and our phone number is 603-513-7700. Again, 603-513-7700. Email us, too, at nhcalling@nhpr.org. Joining me by Skype is a colleague of mine who I'm very excited to welcome to New Hampshire Calling for the first time, Sarah Gibson, NHPR reporter. Sarah, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, it's so good to have you. We don't see each other anymore.
It's true.
We talk on the interwebs as much as we can, mm-hmm. you and I. But we live in the same city. We're both in Concord, and we're not really seeing each other face to face. I think one of the reasons we wanted to bring you on tonight is because you actually entered quarantine a little earlier than most of us by a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. You're sort of living in the future in a weird way. Like, can you just tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So it was March 11th. A couple of my colleagues and I had just been at a conference that was in New Orleans, and it was a journalism, investigative journalism conference. We got back and we got notified that one of the hundreds and hundreds of people who had attended the conference was had tested positive for COVID-19. And if people can even remember this time, like things were, it was starting to get scary. People were starting to rethink their spring vacations, but like not much had changed in New Hampshire yet.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we, you know, had to make calculations at the, even at the office, like, do we come in or do we stay home? And DHHS, you know, the, we were obviously in touch with the state health department, kind of trying to figure out, given the fact that we've had contact potentially at a conference with this person, who I never actually met, but you know, shared space with, do we stay home? And we did for 2 weeks. We stayed home. And then by the time we could emerge, like, everything was shut down. So it was kind of like leaving quarantine, beginning social isolation. So I have a couple weeks on most folks here in New Hampshire. But honestly, like, the experience of those early days in some ways mirrors that of every day, which is, kind of navigating like lots of screen time with some time outside, socially distanced, and trying to figure out how to stay connected without a lot of pressure on oneself to like be in touch with all the people you no longer see.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just sort of, you know, you, for example, are a musician, right? And you play music with people. You used to anyway, in person. You know, are you finding that these sort of things that all of us are doing, like phone calls, FaceTime, Zoom, whatever, like, are they helping, or are they sort of helping but not getting you all the way to feeling the connection you want to feel?
Can you repeat that question? A technological difficulty.
Oh, sure. I guess I'm just wondering, like, you know, you know, for example, you like to play music. I'll simplify it because I was a little long-winded there. You like to play music. You know, how are you dealing with the lack of, like, you know, like, space, sharing space with other musicians? Mm. Like, you know, I mean, just as an example.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not playing music. I mean, I had this total vision that I was going to become very good at the guitar by myself. But the reality is, I've always known for myself for years that one of the major reasons I do music is I love playing with people. It's a really social experience for me. And I play the banjo and I sing and I play folk music. And like, that is inherently a kind of community-based form of art.
Right.
And it's like, I frankly just have never been someone who like sits at home with my banjo by myself.
Right.
I would like, you know, I have this, I think all of us have this kind of imagination of ourselves while we're more isolated as working on a thing. And you know, I think we'll probably hear from some folks who are doing a good job of that. I will readily admit, like, I've not getting better at anything right now, including music.
That's like goosebumps, because I have that vision of like, okay, I've got a weekend, even in a more normal word, I have a day to myself, I have a week to myself, you know, or a weekend, and this is the better person I'm going to be at the end of this, and not much changes. Mm-hmm. I don't change very much. You know, that's a good point. We got people on the lines, Sarah, so let's talk to a few of them. But I just want to remind people that right now we're talking about isolation in this moment of social distancing. How about it? Are you like Sarah Gibson, our reporter? Are you missing your book group or your music group? You know, what is the regular group you get together with that you just can't now? And how is it changing the dynamics of your life and how you feel? We're talking about isolation and living alone. Call us 603-513-7700, 603-513-7700. You can email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. Tom is calling from Exeter. Hey, Tom, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely, good to have you. So tell us, you're living alone.
Yes, I am.
And how's it going?
Oh, I'm rocking it because...
Good. I'm glad.
No, I am because I'm psychotic, so I have to spend a lot of time isolated in my house as a matter of just, you know, getting along with people and maintaining balance.
Oh, so this is good. This is better for your mental health to be alone.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's better for my It's better for my mental health to be alone. So I've been doing this for years. So my lifestyle hasn't changed a bit. You know, I only go out when I have to, and I avoid people. So
yeah,
at last, everyone else is living my lifestyle. You know,
that's great, Tom. I'm glad it's working for you, and I appreciate you calling into the show. Take care.
Thanks.
Okay. Kevin is calling from up in North Conway. Hey, Kevin, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Jack, how are you doing tonight?
Good, good. What do you want to say?
Well, it's actually, I live alone up here, and I've been here for about 15 years like this.
Yeah.
And I kind of lucked out at the beginning of the month. I got a new job working remotely, so it kind of just fit right in.
Good for you, yeah.
But it's kind of added some, I mean, of course, you're not going out socially at night, you folks. But being up here is kind of in the White Mountains, so it's in the springtime, so that's kind of a nice thing, too.
Right.
But it's nice, actually, just being able to go up. I'll meet a friend sometimes over at some of the roads, the closed roads, and we'll walk up on either side of the road. And, you know, you do that on a regular basis, and routine is a lot easier to establish kind of right now with nothing else to do other than what you've been doing last night.
Right.
You know?
And Kevin, so, are you like Sarah and I in that we make a plan for the way that we're going to make ourselves better by having time alone and then we don't change at all? Or does living alone, has that brought you a sense of, you know, self-improvement and, you know, working on yourself?
Well, I guess right now it's kind of the latter of what you said. Since you have everything is so simple right now with not going out, it's a lot easier to kind of think about getting into routines that you kind of put off because maybe you want to go out and see a club or a band the other night or, you know, whatever. So you're forced into, all right, tonight is like last night. Let's put a plan together. So if I'm home alone or, well, like I am, I'll be listening to this. I might be looking at some YouTube videos on getting training and what have you. And then even just the nightly walks that I've been doing like on a very regular basis at this point.
Yeah.
You know, it's a positive thing. And I don't want to put a positive light on it. Well, it's a silver lining, I guess, is the best way of saying it.
That's great. Yeah, I appreciate that perspective. And I'm glad New Hampshire Calling is a part of your routine as well. We appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, Kevin.
Thanks for being available. Take care, guys.
Take care. We're going to go now to Lucy calling from Durham. Lucy, welcome to New Hampshire Calling. And I just want to remind listeners, we're talking about being alone in this moment of social isolation. What does it mean for you? Are you living alone? How are you coping? Call us at 513-7700, 513-7700. Hey, Lucy in Durham, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing pretty well. Am I actually on the air?
You are actually on the air.
Okay,
welcome.
Okay.
You did it. You got through.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing this show. So I live alone. I've been living alone now for about, 10 years. I've been divorced. And so, you know, I slowly got used to living alone. It's still not like wouldn't be my first choice. But I actually, I really have, I've come to enjoy living alone to a point. I'm really, really pretty social. So usually I go out with friends, you know, several times per week. And so that's what I find that I'm really, really missing. And you know, even just like when I talk with someone, I usually like I'm touching their arm or, you know, whatever, you know, it's that. It's the personal interaction that I'm really missing. And, you know, I think it really only started hitting me last week. I've been working at home now for the past, 6 weeks. And, well, this is week six. And, last week, all of a sudden, it just hit me like a brick wall. All of a sudden, I thought, wow, I'm really lonely. And so, but I'm doing okay. And I think the person who called before was talking, or maybe you were, about routine. And having a routine has really helped a lot, though. Like, I still get up and, you know, shower every day and, like, try to put makeup on. And then I, you know, go out for a walk. And what I found is that's fun, too, is, like, I see the same people out on a walk sometimes at lunchtime. And that's, like, that's what I look forward to now. It's like, wow, a real person. I get to wave from across the road. So Anyway, yeah. So that's, you know, it's challenging, but I mean, I'm doing okay, but I am lonely. There's no doubt about it, you know, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think a lot of people can identify with that sense of it just sort of hits you at some point. Wow, I feel more lonely than I realized, you know.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And just those little things like the physical touch, you know, it gets a little weird after a while to not be physically close to other people.
That's right. That's right. And to not know like when we may be able to do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Lucy, thanks for calling. We appreciate hearing from you.
And thanks for doing this show.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Take care. Sarah?
Yes.
You learning anything?
Is this changing
your life yet?
Right. Well, this thing I've heard for years now, routine is good. So like I'm always thinking one day I'll start one. And I have some, but I think, I really resonate with Lucy that you're starting to recognize people on your walk. And like, there is this kind of, there's just such a deep yearning most humans have for some kind of connection. And some are quite discerning about that. Others don't need a ton, but like it is, we are social beings. And I think everyone's on a spectrum, and we heard from people who are at different places on that. Right. But I certainly find that like I'm pleased to see this woman who has a really fluffy white dog consistently walk by my house. And like one day I might pat it. Certainly not now.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, Sarah, we're going to bring somebody else in to the conversation. Actually, the individual who gave us the idea for this show, Heather Davenport, is on the line from Swansea. Hey, Heather, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I want to let listeners know how it is you came to give us this idea for the show. You sent us an email a few weeks ago. We read all those emails, by the way. Anybody who sends them in, we get a lot of great ideas from them. And I just want to sum it up a little bit to sort of set you up here. You wrote that you'd been hearing a lot, you know, on our show and elsewhere about families stuck in a house together and how they're trying to manage that, but that you had recently gotten divorced. And that you found yourself living alone for the first time in a long time. And I'm wondering, like, how are you coping with that? Like, what is your personal experience of it? And how are you trying to adapt to it?
Yeah, it was actually quite a huge change for me because when I lived here with my husband, we don't have children. And we also rented out rooms in our house to students. So he moved out about the end of February, and then the housemates left because the virus caused them to go back to their own homes. And I suddenly found myself completely alone for the first time in decades. And I do, you know, I don't mind solitude. I think solitude can be a really helpful, replenishing kind of thing. But I found that I was incredibly lonely, and I stayed in the house for about 3 weeks, and I was working from home. And then after about 3 weeks, I said, I just can't tolerate this anymore. Mm. So I started thinking about going down and being with my parents. And that was a little bit scary since my parents are elderly. So I wasn't sure if I should be doing that. But it got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore. But I was trying to do some things to help myself. I did pursue some, you know, online meditation and mindfulness practices to some extent. I'm still trying to do that. I'm new at that, so it's a bit of a challenge. And I have been Zooming and texting and contacting friends, but it's just not the same. And I live in a place where I don't see anybody. So I'm...
Yeah, Swansea is... You're tucked down in the southwest corner of the state. 15 minutes outside of Keene or more, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, Heather, I feel like I'm hearing you process this in a very real way where it's like you are cognizant of your solitude in a way that you understand that you don't love, you know, and that you're trying to find ways to deal with it, but they can only go so far.
Exactly. Yeah. And I do, I recognize that, you know, I'm lucky. I have my job. I have my health. And I do try to put things into perspective, which helps a little bit. I think of my family story. I think probably other people do this themselves. I think about my mom was born in the Philippines, and she, when World War II rolled around, she and her family were interned in a prison camp for a couple of years. And I just think about my grandparents, who I knew for a very long time, and what sort of life they had, being afraid every single day for their family, and how resilient and strong they were. So some of those things make me put things in perspective, which helps.
What a story. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for your email, and thank you for willing to be on the air. And when it's all over, come to Concord. We'll take you out for a cup of coffee.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling in. This is New Hampshire Calling. We're talking about solitude, living alone, dealing with your isolation during this pandemic and this moment of social distancing. We're going to head to a break here. On our way out, let's play Joe Cocker, Feeling All Right, which is a song that Heather says is helping her out right now. Stay close.
During this global pandemic, NHPR News staff are working round the clock to bring you critical, timely information you can trust. Stay connected with NHPR's Coronavirus Daily Digest e-newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox. Sign up today at nhpr.org.
Some Afghans who helped U.S. troops overseas were resettled near New York City. Now they're helping the U.S. fight a pandemic. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, tomorrow morning from 5 to 9 with Rick Ganley here on NHPR and online at nhpr.org.
Welcome back. I'm Jack Rodolico, and this is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR that's all about how we can help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. And I'm joined tonight by Sarah Gibson, my colleague here at NHPR. Sarah, I think the thing that I kind of want to hear from people, you know, we're hearing from people who are living alone, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's also a way to feel alone without actually being alone. I'm wondering about people who are, in addition to living alone, you know, maybe we can widen this by, like, you know, maybe you're an essential worker separated from your family because you don't want to bring the virus into your house. Or maybe you're at home with a newborn. I mean, there are so many ways to be surrounded by people and to feel completely alone.
Yeah, very much so. And I was really struck by Lucy talking about, like, solitude versus loneliness.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the most painful loneliness we can feel is being actually technically being in the midst of other people, but still feeling like our social needs are not met. And I certainly am very lucky to have a housemate who I love, but you know, you can be in a house with people and still feel like really desperately lonely. And or you can, you know, not see the people you're used to seeing and building community with and feel like real pangs of loneliness, even though technically you're like not even able to find space to technically be alone, right? Like
we're
kind of shoved up in these tiny spaces at times. And but it doesn't mean that you don't feel lonely. And I think people just experience that in really different ways.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's our challenge to callers right now. We do want to continue to hear from people who are living alone and are coping with the, whatever you want to call it, a solitude, loneliness, or just being alone. you know, those are the people we want to hear from. But we also want to widen this to people who feel alone, despite the fact that you maybe have people around you. Maybe you are that mother with a newborn and you're not seeing a lot of other adults. Maybe you are an essential worker, or you are married to one or living with one. What does solitude feel like for you? Call us 603-513-7700, 603-513-7700. You can email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. Let's go now to Ashley calling from Portsmouth. Ashley, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Good to hear your voice.
I got lucky. I was just coming out of Hannaford, and I heard this on the radio. I'm like, this is perfect. And it's perfect, too, because I'm also an essential worker.
Oh, no kidding. So can I ask what you do?
So I actually climb towers and install 5G network for Ericsson Incorporated.
Oh, wow. Is that it? I would imagine that's a pretty solitary job, at least at times.
It is, and that's why it's been so lucky, and it goes back to how close we've become with my little four-man crew, because right now, one of my foremen, he has a newborn, and his wife won't even let him go back to Long Island because of the concerns of transmitting virus to the new baby.
That's right. Oh, man. And so how are you doing with this whole thing? You know, how are you experiencing this type of isolation?
So while I'm at work, it's fine because I'm around people, but it's just like this week, I could have gone on vacation to go see my mother down in North Carolina, and we've had to put that off because she's in her 60s, and while she was completely okay with it, I was just like, you know, let's just wait until, you know, June or July maybe. So that affected me a little bit because I was really looking forward to it. And on the weekends, like when I got on the call, I was asked, you know, what's my living situation like? Well, I live in a converted van, so I don't even have a roommate. The only roommate I have is a dog.
Wow.
So
yeah, that's...
It's made things a little interesting on the weekends when you're not at work, because all the gyms and stuff are shut down. So you're making connections with friends that are brave enough to say, yeah, you can use my shower, or you can cook something if you need to.
Wow. Yeah. No kidding. Ashley, what a unique story. Thank you so much for calling in to the show. And I'm glad you turned on the radio when you came out of Hannaford's.
thank you.
Take care. Thanks. Let's go down to Sheila just across the border in Putney, Vermont. Hey, Sheila, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you great. Go right ahead.
Okay, so first of all, I want to say I used to live in New Hampshire, so I stayed with New Hampshire Public Radio because I love it.
Thank you for that. We appreciate it.
And I just wanted to share that there's got to be a term between introvert and extrovert, because I think I'm both. Uh-huh. I love my solitude. I love having this space. I love feeling safe when I walk in here. I live in a little off-grid camper with no electricity except a generator. And I'm really comfortable here, and it's tiny, and it's all mine. And I walk in and I know nobody else has been in here. I don't have to worry about what I touch or, you know, anything. So that's great. The other thing is that I live on a dirt road, and I walk, my gardens are up the road at another house where I used to live. And so all the way up and down the road, I get to see all my neighbors and everybody, you know, the new phrase is stay safe. So everybody's, you know, basically telling each other, yeah, I know enough to stay, you know, away and stuff. And
Sheila, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Don't want to put words in your mouth, but it kind of sounds like you're doing okay.
I think I'm doing great. I mean, Putney has this wonderful network of people called, I always forget the name of it. It's a network of people that help each other out and stuff. And
yep.
Because I'm at risk. People do my shopping for me. You know, there are stores in town, the co-op. You can call in and pay over the phone and everything. It's really great.
Sheila, it sounds great. I'm really glad that you had a lifestyle where you were quick to adapt, but it also sounds like you got a good attitude. And we appreciate hearing from you right now on New Hampshire Calling. I want to remind people that we're talking about isolation and loneliness, or just living alone, or dealing, or living with others and dealing with your own type of isolation during social distancing. How's it working for you? What are you doing to cope? What's working, what's not? Call us at 603-513-7700, 603-513-7700. Let's go now to Geraldine in Salisbury. Hey, Geraldine, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hi, Jack. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you coping? What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing really well, thank you.
Oh, good.
And just wanted to say a couple things. Much like Sarah, I'm very much involved in music, which I do always make with other people. And so in this shutdown, I managed to make my way to piano once, but that was about all I could handle.
Right.
But I don't have a television. My only real contact with the outside world actually is NHPR, and I've been a long-time sustainer, and I do really enjoy the fact that you folks are flexible enough to change your schedule to bring up shows like this and to do the briefings that you do during the day. And the other thing I wanted to say is that I'm not normally... I am, but right now I'm not a person who's really been tied to the idea of keeping a schedule. I think it's really important, especially if you do live alone, you have the advantage of being able to just kind of go with whatever your day brings your way.
Yeah, to do it the way you want to do it, right?
Yeah, little moments of loneliness or depression that might creep in, you can, I think, be gentle with yourself and handle those however you may.
Geraldine, thanks so much for calling in. And I also want to say we are very aware that there are a lot of people listening to NHPR right now and using it as a way to connect, and we're really grateful to all of you. We're going to go now to an individual that we really wanted to speak with. Mimi, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Mimi White, you live in Rye?
I do.
Mimi, you're a poet.
Uh-huh.
And tell us about how you are dealing with isolation in this moment. Particularly, I know you've got an interesting relationship with one of your grandkids right now.
Yes, I do. As you probably know, grandparents are to stay away from their grandchildren,
yeah.
Vice versa. Everybody's afraid that we will get infected, those of us who are older. I'm 72. So my family, one family lives in Vermont and one family lives in Massachusetts. And it just so happened that one day my two daughters and I were FaceTiming, and one daughter in Vermont was saying, the homeschooling is so hard. My daughter works for the land trust. Her husband works for the attorney general's office. And they're all in this small house together with an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old. So I said, well, I can work with one of them. I'll work with Will. So Will's 12. And because I am a poet and I taught poetry in the schools and all over, really, for several decades, I had a whole cadre of lessons and in my head that I could do with Will. So Will and I were working together for the 10 a.m. slot. That's what I took, knowing kids are brighter and fresher in the morning. And Will and I wrote poems together.
And Mimi, let me ask you, was Will a kid that you were expecting to be a poet?
That's a great question. No. Will is an athlete. I really didn't know if Will knew how to read. I mean, he's 12, so I knew he was reading, but
sure.
I had never spent any time academically with him.
Yeah.
He's a terrific athlete, and that's what he's known for, and he does stand out in that. So I don't even think he knew what poetry was.
Right.
But he did have some schooling. He understood haiku fairly well, and so we started writing together. We would both have a phone. He had to borrow one of his parents' phones, and we would put it on speaker, and we would hear each other. And one day we went out and wrote and gathered information outside and gathered what we were hearing and seeing and listening. And as he created and he then read his poems to me, we would talk about them. And one of the things he said to me was he didn't realize that poems actually had messages, that they actually were trying to say something to somebody else, which he picked up on as we were writing together. And then he also said that he was very surprised that the poem could reveal something about him that he didn't know he was thinking or feeling.
Wow.
He would have these major insights. And I would read to him poems. I read one by Nazım Hikmet, who was a Turkish poet who was imprisoned for being basically a Marxist back, I should know the era, but I think about 1960. And he wrote this long poem when he was released after 26 years in prison. And Will and I talked about that. And I said, you haven't really been in prison, but you are in Vermont. You have to stay in your home. And what are you missing? And so we talked about that in relation to the larger poem, what was he missing in his life, which, of course, were his friends and playing soccer. And I remember saying, what did you feel like when you're playing soccer? And he got really quiet, and he said, it makes me feel alive.
Mm.
Mimi, is he writing poems, and after his
you just warmed Sarah Gibson's heart there, Mimi. We haven't heard from Sarah in 10 minutes, and we heard just a deep sigh. Mimi, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk to us, and I'm so glad that you and your grandson are finding a way to connect and learn more about one another in this moment, and that he's providing you with some connection in this moment. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Good luck.
Thank you to you, too. Yep. This is New Hampshire Calling. We're talking about isolation, being alone, living alone in this moment. We want to hear from you. Email us, nhcalling@nhpr.org, or call us at 513-7700. Stay with us.
I want to live all alone in the desert. I want to be like Georgia.
Welcome back to New Hampshire Calling. This is a pop-up show from NHPR that's all about how we can help each other navigate daily life in a time of coronavirus. I'm Jack Rodolico, and I want you to know what we are going to do tomorrow night on New Hampshire Calling. It's a seasonal show of sorts. We are going to talk about gardening. Are you getting your green thumbs dirty right now as a balm for this crazy time? Is the pandemic bringing you closer to your garden? And let me just tell you, if you are like me and you feel like you don't know how to plant or water anything right, we'll have an expert on hand to talk about cheap and easy ways to get started in this moment. Want to send us your question in advance? Or maybe you just want to share what you're planting? Leave a voicemail at 603-513-7700 or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. Right now, we are live and want to hear from you. We're talking about solitude during social distancing. Sarah Gibson, NHPR reporter, is on the line. Sarah, I got to tell you, there's people on the phones. They want to talk.
Let's listen to them.
Let's listen to them. Okay, good. Let's do that. You and I, we don't need to banter. Let's go to the people. Yeah, let's go to those
folks.
We
want to hear from them.
Yeah, that's good. Right now we've got John calling from Concord Correctional Facility. Hey, John, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hi.
Good to have you.
I listen to NPR all day long and New Hampshire Calling. I like the show and everything.
Oh, thanks so much.
I'm at the prison. I've been here since the mid-80s. You might think it's some place to get some solitude and stuff. It's kind of the opposite. Mm. I'm in a double cell, so in order for me to have some solitude, the other guy has to, like, split. It's pretty frantic around here, especially now that we're all confined to the pods and stuff. It was built for 10 people. It was 24. And just to do the bleaching of the tables and stuff, it's just like everybody has to get up.
John, can I ask you? Oh, no, go ahead. Make your point. I have one quick question for you.
Sure. Oh, okay. I just think it's with the overcrowding and everything, and it's pretty frantic, and it's hard to have some. You have to fight for your solitude, but
yeah. Is this changing?
Okay.
Is it changing? Has COVID-19 changed your daily life in terms of your isolation or your ability to connect with people?
Well, I kind of was socially isolating myself for many years, but it kind of gives me a reason or whatever. But it hasn't really hit the institution yet. They're kind of doing everything they can to prevent it, but it'll be a miracle if it doesn't get all inside of here very soon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, I'm at the age, too. I'm pushing 60, and, you know, I have different, what we you would call comorbidity things, and if I get it, I could be dead in a week or whatever it is, you know what I mean? And so that weighs on my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about that, but...
John, we appreciate hearing from you from Concord Correctional Facility. We appreciate you listening there and for calling in to share your unique experience of isolation in this moment. Thanks for calling us.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Let's go to another John. John in Springfield now. Hey, John, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
I'm great. What's so great about life for you right now in this moment of isolation?
Well, I got to tell you, I really appreciate the show. I came home from work and I heard, you know, your title for the show. I listen to NPR all the time. I don't have TV or internet. And I said, you know, how are we going to help each other, you know, on the radio? You know, I'm thinking, but I started listening to the other stories and I was identifying and I was appreciating my own hardships that I'm going through. You kind of think, it's just me, but it isn't. Other people have some things that they're dealing with, but it's nice to listen to their stories and my heart goes out to them. And I want to thank you for your show.
John, that is that might be the sweetest call we've ever gotten on this show, and I'm so glad that you're finding a little bit of that connection in the voices of the other people that you're hearing, and we appreciate you listening.
Well, thank you, and I just want you to know it's just me and my dog, so, and I'm getting to know my dog's language, you know, like we communicate really well.
and they have their own language, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
And one more quick thing I want to mention. One of the things that actually lifted my heart is Sarah talking about her banjo.
Ah, Sarah, what do you think of that?
I love the banjo. Oh, gee. And of course, there's a sob story that goes with this, but I don't have any banjos right now. I actually had a house fire last year, and they all got burnt up.
Oh, wow.
But the point is I'm going to get another one. And Sarah, thank you for letting me know other people play the banjo.
We're still out there, yeah, twiddling away.
John, you're the best. Thanks for calling in. We really appreciate hearing from you.
No problem. Thank you.
I want to read an email. Susan from Ashland, she says, I've become a mask maker, and that is the central activity each day. I do it because it is something I can do for my community. She goes on to say, my sister has COVID-19. She is 83 and lives in a nursing home in New Jersey. So making masks helps me get through the days of uncertainty and worry for my sister and for all my children. Susan, thanks so much for sharing that anecdote. Let's go now to Susie in Whitefield. Susie, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, so you moved to New Hampshire 3 years ago.
Yeah, over 2 years ago, and I immediately started in writing a book, and I got very involved in it. And the seclusion was actually a really good thing for my productivity. But when the coronavirus hit and we were forced to stay at home, it like hit me like a ton of bricks that my option to go out has been taken away. So, you know, I was normally okay with being alone because it was very, you know, productive for my work and everything. But now that I've got, you know, my choice of going out has been taken away, it's like...
So it sounds like maybe your day-to-day hasn't changed all that much, but the opportunity to go out, that the choice was taken away, sounds like it shifted things for you.
It shifted things and it made me lonely. Hmm. I mean, I wasn't lonely before, and now it's like, oh, I am lonely. So now I'm like telling all of my friends, okay, I'm lonely. Please pay more attention to me. But they're busy too, or they've got their own lives, you know, it's like it was a psychological shift for me. It doesn't make any sense. You know, my life hasn't changed at all as a result of coronavirus. It's just that, you know, my options are switched and shifted.
Yep. We hear you loud and clear, Susie. Thanks for calling in. Sarah, did you you can, I feel, I don't know, I feel like I can identify with that idea of like something you are already feeling, you all of a sudden, you realize that you felt it once mm-hmm. the coronavirus thing happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people who, you know, they're discovering things about, particularly parents, they're discovering things about their kids. Or they're like, oh, yeah, I knew this was a thing, and now it's really a thing because it's in my face all the time.
Yeah, so
I think,
yeah,
it kind of it illuminates hunches we've had about ourselves or our family members for better and for worse, I think. I definitely resonate with that.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get Sarah, I want to introduce you to Drina Baker, who's on the line. Drina, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Awesome. I'm so glad you're here. So listen, Emily Quirk, who produces this show, connected us with you. I know two simple things about you, so I don't want to oversimplify you, but here's what I know about you. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. You live in an apartment building in Nashua.
Right.
You're 90 years old.
Right.
And you love bingo, and you can't play it right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite pastime right now. Yeah.
How are you? Bingo is social. Like, I don't imagine online bingo feels as good as doing it in person.
Oh, no, it's a whole new ball game when you're right there at the in the hall playing.
Oh, man.
You got everybody around you. I don't know. Like I say, it's a whole new ball game.
And what are you doing? How are you occupying yourself if you can't? How often? Let me ask you this. How often do you go play bingo?
I used to go 2 or 3 times a week.
And what are you doing in that time when you would otherwise be playing bingo now? Are you thinking about bingo? Are you strategizing?
Oh, yeah, I miss it. I miss it.
Yeah. And, what are you doing to keep yourself active during this moment? I mean, it sounds
it's hard because you can't go out and socialize like you could before. So now all I do is I sit at home watching the boob tube or, you know, the television, and I do go out every once in a while and walk around on the in the parking lot. But, it's like, oh, I don't know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, if you can get my drift.
I do. Yeah, I think we all get your drift. I understand.
Right now, I mean, it's like everybody's getting cabin fever.
Yeah.
And, of course, this virus here, I mean, it is so different from any that I have ever seen or been through, even when every time we've ever had a real virus, you know, where things, they never closed the churches.
Yeah.
Never closed the stores like they do now. I mean, the restaurants and everything. I mean, if you want to go to a restaurant, it's drive-through or they'll deliver.
And Drina, have you got people close to, have you got family? Have you got people who check in on you, whether in person or by phone?
I have my one of my sons lives here in Nashua. He works for the city of Nashua, so he calls every day. And then I have my son that lives in Rhode Island. Him and his wife called. The grandkids are. Of course, my kids are all scattered. I mean, I only have 2 that live here and one granddaughter that lives close by. The others, one is in the military, so she's here, there, and everywhere. But, I mean, they do call and everything
Good.
Else, you know, to check up. Grandma, are you okay? Oh, yeah.
Good. I am so glad that you're okay, and I hope that you are back playing bingo as soon as humanly possible, Drina. Thank you so much for talking to us on New Hampshire Calling.
Oh, yes, you're quite welcome, and stay safe.
You got it. You too. Sarah Gibson.
Wow.
That was a wild ride. That hour went fast.
That was so special. I'm so glad so many people called in, and I also wanted to say that I've written down, Drina, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes.
Is that what we got? So that's going on my wall in my bedroom, which is also my office, where I have lots of post-it notes of things I have to do for work. But like, again, I will look at that probably every day.
Yeah, I got to say, we debated like how to frame this show, if we would get calls. Man, did we get calls. People are experiencing isolation and being alone in all of these ways. And Sarah, thank you so much for being on the show. It was delightful to have you. And I hope to see you again in person.
I do too. You're so welcome.
Thanks for coming on. I really want to thank everyone who called in tonight, especially, Mimi White, Drina Baker, and Heather Davenport. New Hampshire Calling is produced by Emily Quirk with help from Pete Nakos. Corey Princell is NHPR's managing editor, and Maureen McMurray is our show's executive producer. This has been New Hampshire Calling. I'm Jack Rodolico, and remember, we are all in this together.
Hey, it's Lauren Chulgin, NHPR political reporter, and we are so thankful for our members who make NHPR's news reporting possible. That includes our comprehensive coverage of the coronavirus pandemic. If you're looking for another way to help, you can donate that vehicle you no longer need to us. We'll pick up your car, truck, or RV and invest the funds right back into the programming you rely on every day. Go online to nhpr.org/cardonation to learn more. And thanks so much.